Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We have four lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, we just learned the Basar. The Pasuk says, V'yoy Mashmini, Yimol Besar or Lasar. The word Besar, the word Basar, seems to be extra, and it's coming to teach us, Basar Afal Pishyeshom Baharis. Yimol, even though there is a nega, a baharis is a form of nega, if there is a nega present at the location of the bris mil, Yimol, he proceeds as usual and disregards the nega. So the mitzvah of removing, of doing the bris, overrides the issur, the prohibition against removing the nega from one's body. Divrei Rabbi Yashia. See, he holds that the pasuk here is teaching us this very din. Says the Gemara, Halama likra, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that one can do the bris milah at the expense of removal of the nega? It's something which he has no intention of doing. He's simply trying to do a bris milah without any intention of removing the nega, even though it's happening incidentally. And we know the davar shein miskaven is mutar. So why is a pasuk necessary to grant us this allowance? Amar Abayloi Nitzrucha. Apparently, this is said only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Elad Rabbi Yehuda the Amar davar shein miskaven asur. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a davar shein miskaven, if a malacha or a iser in this case takes place incidentally as a result of a person's primary act, even though he had no intention of bringing that about, it is asur. So this pasuk is apparently, the fact that we learn this from the pasuk is reflecting Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, who would hold that in any case there's no concern since there's no kavana of removing the nega. Rav Amar, afilu tein Rabbi Shimon, even if this follows Rabbi Shimon's opinion, it would make sense. Why? Moider Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon agrees. Bepsik reisha v'lo yomus. If something happens and it's inevitable, like the psik reisha, you cut off the head of the chicken, surely it's going to die. You can't expect otherwise. So in a case where it's inevitable that will result in this thing taking place, Rabbi Shimon would agree. And therefore, in this case, we need a pasuk to grant us permission to proceed with the bris milah as usual, despite the fact that he's going to be removing the nega, and it's inevitable that's going to happen. Says the Gemara of Abaye, Leslie Haisvara? Does Abaye not agree with this svara that according to Rabbi Shimon, when it's inevitable, it has to happen, and even according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be asur? V'ha, Abaye v'rover da amri tavayu. Both, Abaye v'rover both said, Moedir Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon concedes, agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, in a case of Bepsik Reishe v'lo yamos, in this inevitable situation, that it would be asur. So why did Abaye begin the sugi by saying, well, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no need for the pasuk to grant us permission? Sure there is, because it's inevitable. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's asur, if not for the pasuk. Says the Gemara, you write, Basar the Shama Mirava Savra, after you heard it. After Abaye heard it from Rabbi Savra, he agreed, he accepted it, and he went along with it. But what he mentioned earlier was prior to his having heard and accepted it from Rava. Ika de Masin Lo, some had a different version and they applied the discussion between the Abaye and Rava Aha. They applied the discussion on the following halacha. The pasuk says, Hishamar benega tzaras, lishmer moed v'laseis. This is that pasuk which tells us one is not allowed to remove his nega. You must safeguard that nega very much. And we learn, laseis, iata oise. You can't go ahead and actually remove the nega. Aval, ata oise oise, bisiv, shal gavi ragloi. You can go and you strap the sieve, this reed, this shoe strap on your foot, without any concern that perhaps it's going to rub away the nega. Uvay chalge avik seifa, he can transport the rod or the load on his shoulder, even though it's right at the place of the nega. Vim avra avra, if the nega disappears and dissipates, that's okay. So as long as he doesn't directly remove the nega, the pasuk is allowing him to do so. Rashi actually had a different version of the Gemara. He says that the word la sois is actually teaching us that we can go ahead and just conduct our life as in a normal manner without any concern for the removal of the nega, as long as he doesn't deliberately remove it. So this is it seems to be a braisa here, Tesefta, which learns this halacha from this pasuk. So the Gemara asks the kasha, v'hal lamali kro, why do we need a pasuk to allow this? If we want to strap the shoe strap, carry the load, even though it results in the nega getting rubbed out. Dover Shein Meskavenu. He has no intention of removing the nega, but Dover Shein Meskavenu is mutter, right? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. Amar Abai Lenitzruch, apparently, this halacha is said, El Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Dover Shein Meskavenu also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, woes that even an incidental malacha, incidental iser taking place as a result of his primary act would be aser. Therefore, the pasuk needs to grant us allowance and permission from to conduct himself as usual with his load, with his strap. For Rav Amar, I feel like Rav Shimon, even if we're going according to Rav Shimon, who generally holds that davar she'ein miskaven is mutar, there is different. Rav Shimon agrees in the case where it's inevitable, such as in this case, where it would be aser. Therefore, the pasuk needs to grant us permission. Does Abaye not agree that Rav Shimon differentiates between an ordinary davar she'ein miskaven and this case where it's inevitable? They both said, they both said that Rav Shimon agrees to Rabbi Yehuda in the case where it's a psikresh, it's inevitable, that it's aser. So why did Abaye need to say at this halacha, this brisa, which requires a pasuk, is only in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, where according to Rabbi Shimon it would be mutter regardless? No, according to Rabbi Shimon it would be aser likewise because it's inevitable. Says the Gemara, same as before, levasa de shamei mi Rava. After Abaye heard this lesson from Rava, this chiddush, that a psikresh is different than an ordinary davar she'ein miskaven, after he heard this, Savra, he heard it, he agreed with it, and he accepted it. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back to the initial point of the conversation where Abaye said that the psukim, the pasuk that allows the nega to be removed as a consequence of the bris milah, is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a davar she'ein miskaven is asur. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, since he has no real intention, kavanah, to remove that nega, he's simply conducting a bris milah today, there wouldn't be any issue, no problem, and there's no pasuk for that. The pasuk is not necessary to grant allowance for that situation. Says the Gemara, okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the pasuk coming to teach us? It's an extra word, basar. Va'abaye alib de Rabbi Shimon, abaye according to Rabbi Shimon, hi, basar my ovedle. What does he do with the word basar? Omer of Amram. It's speaking about a unique case. Ba'omer, we're speaking about that this fellow is actually saying, he's revealing his intention. He says, Lokutz Bahartu Miskaven. He's saying, look, I have Kavana. This is in third person. He has Kavana to remove his nega. So he's saying, look, I want to remove this nega, Lokutz Bahartu, to chop off his nega, whom Miskaven he is intending to do. So Rashi explains that he's actually telling the Moyel, the expert there, that he wants him to do the Brismila. And it's being done for this purpose and this intention, with this goal in mind. In which case, it's a davar miskaven. It's not a davar she'ein miskaven. He's clearly articulating his kavana. Therefore, it would be aser, if not for the fact that the Torah specifically allows this, specifically says that a person can proceed with a bris milah even at the expense of a nega in that location. Says Gemara, Teinach Gadol. Okay, this explains the bris milah of a gadol, of an adult, who has the ability to think and instruct. So we understand why the Torah mentioned the word basar by the gadol, to allow a davar miskaven. Katan meikil amema. What about this katan here, who Rashi says, lo yada lechvuni, has no ability to have kavana. So in this case, it's a davar she'ein miskaven. Why does the pasuk need to allow it? According to Rav Shimon, omer v'sharshia ba'imer avia bein. We're speaking of the father of the child who assumes responsibility for the child's bris milah. It's his obligation. So he is the one who said, Lokutz beheres devnoyu kamischav. He's saying, look, I would like to cut off the beheres of my child. So we're speaking about that he's going ahead and he's doing the bris himself, the father, and he's doing the bris with the kavana that he'd like to cut off the beheres of his son. So it's a davar miskaven. And therefore, it should be us, even according to Rav Shimon. And that's why the Torah needs to allow it. Says the Gemara, V'ik acher, li'avad acher. Now, if there's somebody else available to arrange this bris, to do the milah, let the other person do it. Meaning, how can you go ahead and say, well, we're speaking about a father who is being miskaven to remove the beharis of his son. Nevertheless, the Torah allows it. Well, if there's somebody else that can do it, there's an easy alternative, another option, then how can we allow the father to do it in a manner of Isser of Avera with Kavana to remove the Nega. Let the other person do it without any intention, without any Kavana, in which case, to remove the Nega, in which case he's avoiding the Isser altogether. It's a Dabar Shein Miskaven. How do we know that one is meant to prefer doing it in a manner which avoids the Isser? The Amr of Shim Malakish. Whenever we're faced with an essay and a lois essay, we have a choice between one or the other. Such as this case where we have the essay of Bris Mila. We have the lois essay which warns us to be careful not to remove that nega. So it depends. If you can get by and address both, then you're meant to do so. If you can't, then you got to work one against the other. If you can fulfill both, such as in this case where it's not necessary for the father himself to actually do the Bris Mila in a manner of Issa, which is prohibited because he's having Kavana. So we're faced with a Bris, which is a Mitzaseh, and on the other side of the scale, we have the Issa to remove the Nega. It's one against the other. So if there's a way to fulfill both, such as in granting the privileges of taking care of this Bris to a stranger who will be doing the Bris, he'll do the essay, and he'll fulfill the Lois essay as well, because he's not having Kavana to remove the Nega. So he's going to avoid the Isser. Right? According to Reb Shimon, there's no Isser if he's not having Kavana. So that is the preferred route. If you can fulfill both of them, Mutav, then that's preferred. Vimlav, you have no choice. You have an essay, Vitcha Lois essay. Then surely the essay comes and overrides the Lois essay. So how can we say, well, the pasuk says you can go ahead and do the bris even at the expense of the nega. We're speaking about the father who's doing it with kavana to remove that nega. Nevertheless, it's mutter on account of this pasuk. Well, Rav Shimon Malakish tells us a chiddush. It's not a blank check. That when you're faced with an essay which is opposing the lois essay, you always override the lois essay. That's only when it's inevitable, when you're choiceless. But in this case, we have an easy way out. Just give it to a stranger who doesn't have these evil thoughts. He doesn't have the kavana to go remove that nega. He's an enem miskaven. He avoids the Issa altogether, according to Reb Shimon. You must take that route. So there's more the leka achar. We're speaking about there's no other, anybody else available to take care of the Bris Mila. Therefore, we're left with the father. And since we're speaking about a case where he's being machaven to remove that nega, it's a davar miskaven, where according to Reb Shimon, it certainly would be considered an Issa as well. And that's why the pasuk would have to tell us, basar, that he can go ahead and do that Bris Mila despite the fact that is removing a nega b'kavana. So this will be the initial pshat, meaning prior to the conclusion of the Gemara, that since it's a psik resha, it's inevitable, all agree that it's usur, and the pasuk is required for Reb Shimon as well. Initially, Abai figured this pasuk was not needed according to Reb Shimon because there was a davar shein miskaven. But if it's a case where the person that is having kavana, the father is doing it with kavana to remove the nega, in that case, certainly the pasuk would be required to inform us that it's mutter. So in summary, we have two allowances, two psukim. One pasuk, which is basar, teaches us even when there's a baharis, you proceed to the Bris Mila. We have the pasuk, which says lasos, that one can go proceed of strapping his shoe straps and carrying his load, despite the fact that his nega will be removed as a result, since it's happening indirectly. Now, initially, the Gemara figured, Abai figured it depends on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, this pasuk is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, which says that a davar she'ein miskaven is asur. Therefore, the Torah needs to tell us that you can remove that baharis through the bris mila, even though you have no intention of removing that nega. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, this is specifically in a case where he is being miskaven. Only then is the pasuk required to allow us the removal of the nega. And in conclusion, it's actually pertaining to all cases because we're speaking about a psik resha. When he goes down, he does that bris. It's inevitable that the nega will be removed. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, it would also be us in this case. Therefore, the Torah surely needs to grant us that allowance. That in any case, you can go ahead and do that bris mila despite the fact that it's inevitable that the nega will be removed. Likewise, in the case of carrying that load, of strapping the shoe strap on the nega, the Gemara initially figured that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk is required to allow even a davar she'ein miskaven, whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, it would specifically be referring to when he has kavana to remove that nega. In conclusion, the Gemara said, well, it's a psik resha, it's inevitable. That's going to result in the nega being rubbed out. Therefore, according to all shittas, it would theoretically be asur, if not for the pasuk specifically granting that allowance. Continues the Gemara. Amamar, we learned earlier, that a bris milah is not doicha Shabbos, and it's not doicha yomtiv. Yomtiv ain't a doicha, ela bezmana bilvad. Only if the bris milah is taking place at its prescribed time on the eighth day, only then does it override Shabbos or yomtiv. Menon emili. How do we know this halacha? And the Gemara is specifically going to address yomtiv here. Amar chizkia, v'chein tonet v'chizkia. Chizkia said, and we learned in the base medrash of chizkia, amar kro, lo yisasiru menu ad boiker. Torah is speaking about a Korban Pesach, which was brought on Erev Pesach. You're meant to eat it throughout the night. And the Pasuk says, don't leave over until morning. And the Pasuk actually concludes, Va'anoysim imenu ad boiker, whatever is left over until morning, ba'esh tisroifu, you're meant to burn with an esh. Shein tamaloyma ad boiker. Why does the Pasuk need to repeat that again? Va'anoysim imenu ad boiker, ba'esh tisroifu. Why repeat the word ad boiker twice? We already know that the meat that's left over until morning is nicer, is unfit to be eaten. Ma'atam aloy ma'at boiker, why that repetition? Ba'akosav liten loy boiker sheni lisrei fasoi. The Torah is telling us, look, whatever was left over up until that first morning, which means the morning after the first night of Pesach, so you brought the Korban Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan, you ate it the night of the 15th, whatever is left until the morning of the 15th is nicer. It's also to be eaten. Now the pasuk repeats ad boiker again to tell us that the leftovers, meaning whatever was left over until the morning of the 15th, you need to wait with that until the following morning, the morning of the 16th, which is already chol hamoed, which is already after the yomtiv. Only at that point can you go ahead and burn it. So we see that the malacha of burning could not be done to the leftovers of the carbon. And why? Says Rashi, because this is a weekday carbon, because it was brought when? It was brought on the 14th on Erev Pesach, on a weekday. Therefore, it's not considered to be a object which is related to the actual Yom Tov. It was brought before Yom Tov. So it's not considered to be a Yom Tov carbon. And it's not, Rashi says, it's not the time, the zman, it's not the yom tov zman, it's not the zman of this carbon. Therefore, you cannot go ahead and do malacha for the sake of this carbon and burn the leftovers. You must wait until chol hamoed. Let's see inside. Ma tamadoy ma'at boiker. Why that repetition? Ba kosav liten loy boiker sheni lisrei fasoi. Torah is teaching us that you're meant to wait for a second, to the second morning, to allow the sreifa. So we learn from here that something which is not related to yom tov, one cannot do a malacha for that sake. Likewise, the bris milah. Although he'd like to do it today, but since it's not the eighth day, the zman of this milah is not really related to this yom tov, therefore he can't do it today. Abai Omar, we have another source. Omar Kro, Oila Shabbos b'Shabbatai. We bring the Oila of a Shabbos on its Shabbos. V'loi Oila Shchel b'Shabbos. But he cannot go ahead and bring the leftovers of a carbon oila, which was brought yesterday, meaning Erev Shabbos. He can't bring it on Shabbos itself. Neither can he go ahead and bring the leftovers of an oilas choil, which was brought on Erev Yom Tov, on Yom Tov itself. Why? Because the zman of that carbon was not today. It wasn't the zman of Yom Tov. It's not the zman of this carbon. Therefore, he cannot do malacha for its sake. Likewise, the milah, which is shaloi b'zmana, which is taking place out of its prescribed time, is not considered to be connected and related to today, and therefore you can't do it on Yom Tov. So you can't go ahead and bring the remnants of a weekday carbon on Shabbos, nor can you bring it on Yom Tov. Rav Amar Amar Kro, we have another pasuk, Hu levadi yosalachem. The pasuk here is teaching us that the malacha is for the sake of oichel nefesh, preparation for a food, can be done on Yom Tov. The pasuk says, Hu levadi, it's coming to exclude some things here. Hu v'loy machshirin. From the word who, we learn that only food preparation, the actual food preparation, can do on Yom Tov. But not the machshirim, those preparatory acts for the sake of food preparation, for instance, fashioning a knife, etc., that cannot be done on Yom Tov. From the word levadai, we learn, levadai v'loy milah shloy bezmano, we're not meant to do a milah shloy bezmano, meaning if it's not on the eighth day, you cannot do it on Yom Tov. Da'asim kal v'chomer, despite the fact that perhaps you would be tempted to derive from a kal v'chomer to allow the milah shloi bezmana to take place on Yom Tov. What is the Kal v'chomer, explains Rashi as follows. We would say, perhaps, we find that milah has the ability to negate tzaras, as we learned earlier. It can override the isser of nega. And nega has the ability to override avoida, service in the Beis HaMikdash. If the Kohen has a nega, we don't remove it to enable him to do the avoida. And avoida, karbonis, have the ability to override Shabbos. We're bringing karbonis on Shabbos. So if Mila has the ability, it's considered to be, appears to be superior to tzaras, which is superior to avoida, which is superior to Shabbos. And certainly, Mila should be deemed superior to Shabbos, to Yom Tov. And therefore, we should allow the Mila to take place on a Shabbos, on a Yom Tov, even if it's Shaloi Bezmana, even if it's not during the eighth day. Therefore, the Torah needs to tell us, Levadai, only food preparation malachas are allowed on Yom Tov, but not the Mila Shaloi Bezmana. Rav Ashi Yomar, finally, we have another reason to prohibit the Mila Shaloi Bezmana on Yom Tov, Shabbosoin Aseyu. The Pasuk says that Yom Tov is meant to be Shabbosoin, says Rav Ashi. That tells us that there's a Mitzvah Aseh, a positive command to rest from Malach on Yom Tov. So not only is there a Lois Aseh to refrain from Malachis, but there's a positive that Mitzvah Aseh as well. If so, V'havala Yom Tov, Aseh V'Lois Aseh, a Malacha on Yom Tov entails being over, transgressing an Aseh and a Lois Aseh. V'ein Aseh, Doicha. Therefore, the Aseh of Bris Mila certainly has no chance here. It can't be Doicha, it can't again override a Lois Aseh V'Aseh. Because at most an essay can be doicha lois essay, but an essay cannot be doicha es lois essay ve essay. So since Yom Tov, a melacha on Yom Tov entails both aspects, a lois essay but also an essay as well, the mitzvah bris mila does not have the ability to negate that, and therefore we must refrain from doing the bris shaloi bezmanai on Yom Tov. However, if it's on the eighth day, certainly we learned yesterday from the word ubayoyim b'yamashmini, that the Mila, which is taking place in its prescribed time, in the 8th day, takes place even on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Continues the Gemara, Klal Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva disagreed with Rabbi Lezer, who holds that even the Machshirim of Mila and of other types of mitzvahs we mentioned earlier can take place even on Shabbos. The Malachis, prepare for the mitzvah, are allowed to be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says, no, only the mitzvah, because that can't be done before Shabbos, but the Hachonais, the Machshirim, we can't do them on Shabbos. Klalam Rav Akiva. Om Rav Yehuda Marav. Halachka Rav Akiva. Rav Yehuda Marav rules, passes like Rav Akiva, that the Machshirim cannot be done on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. But Tanan Namika BePesach. Kei Gavna. We learned likewise in the discussion about the Korban Pesach. Klal Om Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva set down a rule there as well. Kol Malacha She'ef Shalala So'isa. Mer Shabbos. Any Malacha which one has the ability to do it prior to Shabbos, ein adoichas haShabbos. It will not override Shabbos. He must do it before Shabbos. However, shechita sheyav shel asoisim erev Shabbos, the actual shechita, slaughtering of the Karban Pesach, which cannot be done before Shabbos. We're speaking about that the day of the Karban Pesach, the 14th day of Nisan, falls out on Shabbos. You can't go ahead and precede and advance the shechita to erev Shabbos. It needs to be done today. That is doichas haShabbos. But not the preparations, Rashi says, for instance, bringing the animal from outside the boundary, the tchum, or cutting off its wort. These are preparatory acts, these are preliminaries, and these can be done before Shabbos, and there's no justification for doing those malachas on Shabbos. And there as well, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Halacha Rav Akiva, that he paskins, the halacha rules like Rav Akiva. Says the Gemara, why twice? Why does Rav Yehuda need to tell us in the name of Rav, in both places, over here by Mila and over there by Korban Pesach, that one can not do the Machshirim on Shabbos, Utsricha, it is needed. Di Ashmin Gabe Mila, because if he would only inform us by Mila, I would say, awesome, with the Machshirim, She'ef Shalasos, Me'esmoil, only over there the Machshirim that one can do before Shabbos, L'docho Shabbos, don't have the ability to override Shabbos. Why? The lack of Kuris. Because we're speaking about a bris mila of a katan, Rashi says, where there's no curse involved, the minor, the katan, is not held responsible for the neglect of his bris mila, and the father as well, although he is very much obligated to do the bris, but he does not, it does not result in curse for the father if he disregards his obligation. So there's no curse involved. Perhaps I would think it's more lenient, and therefore the machshirei mitzvah do not justify chilul Shabbos. Avo Pesach, the curse, however, when it comes to Karban Pesach, where there's very much curse there, if a person disregards his chiv to bring a Karban Pesach, he incurs curse. Emolitchu Shabbos, perhaps even the machshirim, the preparation of that korban, had the ability to override Shabbos. So therefore, Avida Rav needs to tell us, no, by korban Pesach, there is no justification to override Shabbos when it comes to the machshirim. And likewise in the reverse, v'yashmina gabe Pesach. If he would only teach us by Pesach that this halacha applies, I would say, well, Pesach is somewhat inferior to bris. Mishum de lo nichros olea yudgimo brisais. There were no 13 mentionings of bris there. There were no 13 bondings there. Aval mila de nichros olea yudgimo brisais. But when it comes to bris mila, what we find in the parsha by Avraham Avinu, 13 mentionings of the word bris, 13 brisais, 13 covenants were bound and connected and related to bris mila. So perhaps it's outstanding, and on account of that superiority, that even the preparations should have the ability to override Shabbos. Tzricha, therefore, he needs to inform us in both locations, by bris and by Pesach. No, the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion that only the mitzvah, since it cannot be done before Shabbos, that is the Eicha Shabbos, but not the preliminaries, not the machshirei mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, oisin kol tzorcha mila b'Shabbos. One performs all the things, the necessities of the bris mila on Shabbos. Moyalin, upoirin, umoitzitzin. Let's take a look at Rashi, who describes the procedure of the bris mila. Says Rashi, six lines from the bottom. Moyalin choytech es orla. So the way it worked is that there were three phases here. First, they cut off the skin, the foreskin, which is a thicker skin. Then they do something called priya. Priya means to reveal. To reveal the aver, the limb of the bris. And that's by peeling off a thin membrane. That's called priya, which is the next Rashi, upoirin es ha'or ha'machasar v'shagid, which is covering over the head of the gid of the aver. And the third thing is umoitzitzin, they draw out, umoitzitzin es ha'dam, they go and they suck out the dam, but afal gav the asiyas chabura, although it's considered to be a chabura, removing the dam from the flesh is a chabura. And that's a malacha, I'm going to tell us a neshama, removing life, because the life is embedded in the blood. So that's a malacha, despite the fact that he's doing a malacha of chabura. We do it on Shabbos. She'en adam nitach michibura elayde metzisa, because the blood is not pulled out, doesn't get sucked out, drawn out from its connection to the flesh, only through metzisa. As the Gemara later explains, it's actually very necessary to safeguard the life of the child, to draw out the blood, so that the aver doesn't swell. So these three procedures encompass the actual bris mila. Again, says the Mishnah, oisin kol tzorcha mila b'Shabbos, moyalin, which is the thick foreskin, upoirin, which is the thin membrane, umoitzitzin, draw out the blood from the aver. V'noisin alei spilonis, they place on it a bandage, v'kamoin, this cumin spice, which is necessary for the refuah of the child. Now, im lo shachak me'er Shabbos, if he hadn't crunched it up before Shabbos, lo yis b'shinav, so he simply chews it with his teeth, v'noisin, and places it on the wound. As Rashi says, we're meant to deviate, to do shinoi as much as possible, in a way which does not involve a true malacha. Continues the Mishnah, what else do we do for the child? Im lo natorav yayin v'shemen me'er Shabbos. If he had not yet mixed together the wine and the oil before Shabbos, then don't do it on Shabbos. Various reasons. Some say because it's a weekday activity. Do it separately. Each one, the wine, the oil, should be placed separately. Don't first mix it up prior to placing it. One cannot go ahead and fashion a material case for the bris mila. Rashi says they used to press on a material holder to keep the skin from moving forward and covering over the bris area. So one can't go ahead and fashion this chaluk, this type of robe, this type of pouch. Aval kerech ale smartut. So you can't go and make it, it's a malacha, but he can go ahead and wrap a smartut, a piece of material, on the bris mila to achieve the same results. Imla hiskim never Shabbos, but if you haven't prepared it from Erev Shabbos and it's not around, how can you go and bring it from a different area? Kerech ale tzboi. So he simply takes the material, wraps it around his finger, Rashi says it's derech malbush, umevi, and it brings it, afilu mechatzah acheres, even from a different courtyard, even though there's no Erev Chatzeres established between the two courtyards, he goes and brings it when it's wrapped around his finger, which is not considered to be outright carrying. Continues the Gemara. Where the Mishnah began, oisin kol tzorcha mila b'Shabbos. We do all kinds of tzrachim, the needs of the mila. The Mishnah lists out the mila itself, the priya, and the metzitza. So what's missing that was included in the initial opening statement of the Mishnah? Michti, let's take a look. Tani kulu. We have a list of all the procedures. Kol tzarcha mila, lasuya mai. What are we including with that opening statement, all necessities of a mila adana Shabbos? What is it coming to include? Says the Gemara, lasuya yehoda tanrabanan, it's coming to include the following halacha contained in the Brisa. The tanrabanan hamol, one who is doing mila on Shabbos, as long as he's still involved in the mila itself, chayzer, let me go ahead and go back and finish up and trim the mila bein al tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-samila, whether he's going back to trim off these tzitzin, which are these flaps of skin, which are ma'akvin ha-samila, which invalidate the bris mila. So if there is a serious amount of flaps there, he can go back and remove them. Bein al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin ha-samila, he can go back and return and snip off, trim the tzitzin, even if they're just minor, they're just minor flaps which don't have the ability to be ma'akev, to withhold, to impede, to invalidate the bris mila. So Rashi explains the tzitzin here is speaking about flaps of skin which are intruding, which are covering over the atara. So Rashi explains that at the tip of the aver of the bris is a ridge which is a elevated form, bit of skin. And that ridge tapers down to both directions. That's called the atara, like a crown. Now the tzitzin are flaps of skin, pieces of skin or membrane. Now if, Rashi says, if they are choyfa roiva atara, they cover over the majority, most of the ridge. We're going to learn about this later, exactly what roiv means. But if there's that serious, then it invalidates the bris mila. He needs to make sure to remove those flaps of skin. So tzitzin are these flaps of skin, which are protruding. The tzitzin hama'akvin ha-samila are those which invalidate. They're there in a significant amount which invalidate the bris mila. Tzitzin she'en ma'akvin ha-samila are the minor flaps which don't have the ability to interfere with the kashrus, with the validity of the bris mila. So the Brisa is telling us a chiddush. On Shabbos, one is doing a bris, so as long as he's still involved in the bris mila, he hadn't yet completed, he can go back and complete and trim whatever is there, whether it's actually necessary for the validity of the bris mila, or if it's not really necessary, it's not me'akav esamila, but since he's still involved in the mass of mila, which has the ability to override Shabbos, he can go ahead and complete the entire thing. So once again, Tana Rabbanan Hamal, one who's involved in doing a bris on Shabbos, calls mashu oisiv gemila, as long as he's still involved in bris mila, chayzer, he can go back and touch things up. Bein, whether ala tzitzin, ma'akav esamila, whether to remove those flaps, which are ma'akav the kashrus, bein ala tzitzin, she'ein ma'akav esamila, whether to trim down those tzitzin, which are minor and don't invalidate the mila. Piresh, but once he removed his hand, he's completed the process. Now he decides, well, I want to go back and do a better job. Depends. Al tzitzin, ma'akav esamila, if those flaps are serious enough that they invalidate, they ma'akev, they impede the kashrus and validity of the mila, chayzer. And certainly he can go back because he has to complete his mitzvah of bris mila. Al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin samila. However, if those tzitzin are minor and don't impede the mila, eina chayzer, he can no longer return because once he finishes, he removed his hand. Rashi says the mila is over. It's terminated. It's interrupted. Now he'd like to go back. It's as though he's initiating a new ma'isa malach, which is asr on Shabbos, unless it's for the sake of the mitzvah's bris, which in this case, it's not. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi here is three lines from the top, towards the end of the third line, beginning with the word hamol. So we're speaking about a person who's doing a mila on Shabbos, b'Shabbos, kol zman shu oisik ba, as long as he's still involved, shalei silik yodav. He hadn't yet removed his hands. Imro, if he noticed, shinishtayra ba tzitzin, that there's some tzitzin remaining, bein ma'akvin ha-samila, whether they're serious and they're ma'akiv, she'en ekshera ashi echadchem, they impede, they prevent the kashrus. The kashrus is only if they're cut off. Bein she'ein ma'akvin, whether they're just minor and they don't really invalidate, chayzer v'chaytech, and go back and cut them. Tekul echad milsi is considered to be one complete process, one process, one interrupted process. V'areinit neshabbos l'tchayz etzla. Shabbos was given to be pushed away and overridden when it pertains to this bris, to this ma'isa mila. So if he's still in the middle of the act of the bris, he can complete it properly. Piresh, if he already removed his hand, shesil gyodov, then it depends. Ala ma'akvin chayzer. On those tzitzim which are ma'akiv the mila, which are crucial to the kashrus of the mila, then he can go back. Shareyen, k'mila atzma, they're regarded as an integral part of the mila. But on those minor flaps, he can't go back. It's as though he's initiating a new ma'isa. On these minor flaps, there's no allowance to be mechala Shabbos. That's a pshat. When the Mishnah begins by saying kol tzorech chemila could be done on Shabbos, what are we coming to include? Even those tzitzin which are just minor and not me'akiv, he may return and go back and trim them. So the Mishnah here is coming to tell us a chiddush. As long as he's still involved in the bris, he hasn't yet removed his hands, he can go back and trim even the tzitzin which are insignificant, which don't impede the kashrus of the bris. Because he's still involved in the process. It's one big procedure. It's one interrupted bris milah. Continues the Gemara. Man tana pirish eni choizer. Who is this opinion? Whose shita is reflected here that once he removed his hands, it's considered to be a termination? This pause, this interruption, is mafsik the ma'isa. We regard it now as a new initiation, a new ma'isa, and therefore he's prevented from doing so. If he's merely going back to remove those minor flaps, who is the shita that regards this as an interruption and a termination of the ma'isa? Man tana pirish eni choizer. Who holds that pirish does not allow him to go back? Amar Rav Rachana Rav Yechonon, Rabbi Shmuel b'noi shabricham breikei. It's this shita of Rabbi Shmuel. The son is learned in the Brice. Our boss are Shecholis b'Shabbos. So the 14th day of Nisan fell out on Shabbos. He brings his carbon Pesach. What about flaying? What about skinning the animal? B'mafshit a Pesach adachazer. He can only be mafshit, which is a malacha. Hefshit, he can go ahead and flay the carbon, remove the skin only up until the chest area, which gives him unobstructed access to the emurin within, to the fats. So he goes and removes the fats for the carb for the mizbeach, but he cannot continue the hefshit any longer. You go ahead and remove the entire skin from the entire carbon. Explains Rashi. Since Rabbi Shmuel allowed him to go to the chazit, the chest area, and at that point he paused to take out the emurin. So that pause, that hefsik, terminates the hefshit. Now he'd like to go back and complete the flaying process. He can't do so. It's initiating anew. It's beginning a new malacha. And since it's not needed for the carbon, it was only the first part was technically needed in order to get the emurin out properly. That was needed for the mizbeach. But to begin anew, once he's interrupted, once he paused, he can't begin anew. Likewise, in our case, once he interrupted the bris milah, it's considered to be terminated, mufsuk, you can't go ahead and start a new ma'isa again. Says the Gemara Mimai, how do you know to compare the two things? At kan loka omar, Rabbi Shmuel b'noi shu b'roichem b'roika hosam. It's only over there that Rabbi Shmuel holds that he cannot go ahead and complete the skinning of the animal, mishum d'loi b'inon zekelim aveo, because there's no need to beautify the remaining animal. It's there, it's the basar, the flesh, that's going to be eaten by the owner. There's no point in beautifying it. So there's no real Tzorech gavoya, heavenly need to go ahead and remove that the rest of the skin. But in our case, by the bris milah, the ba'inon, we require zekelin vaveyu. This is our God, and we will beautify him. As we'll see soon, there is a advantage to beautifying the mitzvah. So perhaps, even he would agree, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rei Shebrechem Rechem would agree, that he's allowed to go back and trim the remaining tzitzin to beautify the bris milah. Hachinami. So in this case as well, he can go ahead and complete what he'd like to complete. The son is willing to Nebrai, says, Zekelim Aveyu, this is our Hashem, and we will beautify him in snow lefan of mitzvahs. What does it mean to beautify Hashem? It means we will beautify ourselves before Hashem in our performance of mitzvahs. Asay lefan of sukkah, his snow lefan of mitzvahs. Beautify yourself before Hashem when it comes to mitzvahs. Asay lefan of sukkah, do before Hashem, in the honor of Hashem, a nice sukkah, velulavna, a nice lulav, v'sheifana. When you write in that Sefer Torah, do it lishmoy, with the private thoughts. Using high quality, nice ink, with a nicely sharpened quill, which writes nicely. Using a professional, capable scribe. Go ahead and wrap the Sefer Torah with nice materials, nice silks. So we see this concept of beautifying a mitzvah. So perhaps, when it comes to bris, you want to go back and complete trimming those tzitzin. Abba Shaul Omer, he has a different angle on the pasuk. Zekel Maveyu. Zekel Ve'anveyu. Anveyu means Anivehu. Me and him. Me and Hashem. I'd like to be similar to Hashem. Have a doimiloi. Go ahead and behave in a similar manner. Conduct yourself like Hashem. In what way? Ma'u chanon v'racham, just as Hashem has these good midos, chanon grants v'racham, merciful rachmanos, af ato you too. Hey, you chanon v'racham, emulate Hashem, follow in His good ways. That's the pshat zekelim aveyu. Okay, in any case, the Gemara drew that distinction between bris milah, which perhaps all agree, it is right for him to go back and trim those leftover flaps. So we're looking for a Tana who prohibits returning to the bris to complete it. El Amar of Ashi, Hamani Rabbi Yosi. It's actually Rabbi Yosi's opinion. This is not as we find in the Mishnah. Bein Shanir Ba'alil. This is speaking about the witnesses, the Eidim, that are going to the Bezin to testify, to say Eidis, that they saw the new moon at the beginning of the month. So the Tanakhama says, whether the new moon was near Ba'alil, Ba'alil means it was clear and visible to all, Ubein Shaloi near Ba'alil, whether it wasn't so visible and clear, Mechal Nol of HaShabbos, we do Chilul Shabbos to go to Bezin to say the Eidus. Rabbi Yosi, Aimer. No. Nira Ba'alil. If we see that the moon is visible and appears to be unobstructed, Ein Mechal Nol of HaShabbos, there's no need to be Mechal HaShabbos because we can assume that the Bezin themselves saw this moon which is clear and visible, or the people next to Bezin, there's no need for us to be Mechal HaShabbos. So we see that according to Rabbi Yosi, one does not go ahead and do Chilul Shabbos. There's no real tzurich gavoya, real heavenly need, spiritual need. Likewise, in our case, he can't go ahead and complete the trimming of the bris milah. Says the Gemara, what's the connection? Mimai, how do you know to compare? Dilma, perhaps atkan, like Omer Rabbi Yosi Hassam, perhaps only over there, Rabbi Yosi says it's usher for them to be Mechal Shabbos, to testify regarding the new moon, to learn into Shabbos, l'dachis, because Shabbos was not given to be overridden in that case. Meaning there's no justification to desecrate Shabbos in a case where the moon is clear and visible. Aval hocha, but in the case of Bris Milah, where he certainly was justified in being Mechal Shabbos initially, when he initiated the Bris Milah, aval hocha, dinitna Shabbos, l'dachos, the Shabbos was given to be overridden. Hachenami, so in this case as well, he can go ahead and complete the trimming of the Bris Milah. He goes ahead and is goyim of the mitzvah. So even though he took this small pause, he removed his hands, he was masalik yadav, that's okay. It's considered to be one continuous, uninterrupted mitzvah. It's not considered to be an initiation of a new maisa, in which case he wouldn't be allowed to trim those tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin. So perhaps in this case, we regard the entire thing as one big maisa milah, and just as he began with a perfect heter, Shabbos was given to be overridden in this case for this bris milah. Perhaps he can go ahead and complete it, even to remove those insignificant tzitzin. Says the Gemara, Ela Amri Na'adois. Na'adois says, we're going to find a shita, which is reflected in our brights earlier. It's Rabbanon, the Pligia Lei de Rabbi Yosi. It's actually the Rabbanon who disagreed with Rabbi Yosi in the following mission. This is not, as we learned, Arba Kohanim. This was speaking about exchanging the Lechem Aponim from the Shulchan and the Beis Hamikdash. This took place on Shabbos. So how did the procedure go? It was as follows. Four Kohanim Nechnasim, Arba Kohanim Nechnasim, Shnayim Biyadam Shnei Starim. So they came with a new shipment. Two of them were holding the new stacks, the two stacks of Lechem Aponim. Ushnayim, there were another two Kohanim who were holding Biyadam in their hands, Shnei Bazichin, two spoons of the fragrance. And four Kohanim preceded them, advanced them, to bring out, to remove the old bread and the old levoina. Shnayim, two went, little Shnei Starim, to go and remove the two stacks of Lechem Aponim. Ushnayim, the other two were, little Shnei Bazichin, to remove the two spoons of levoina. So how did they proceed? Now the Shulchan was situated, Rashi says, between Mizrach and Meir. So it was stretched between east and west. So the Kohanim was standing alongside the length of the Shulchan. One set of Kohanim was standing on the Tzofen side, facing Doran. Right? If this is, let's say, Mizrach and Meir, so Shulchan's like this. So one set of Kohanim were facing this way, and the other set of Kohanim were facing this way, face to face. Continues the Mishnah. Ha-machnisim. So the ones who came to bring in the lechem, the rangers, owned them, but Safan, they would stand on Safan's side, opening the Dorim, and face Dorim. Vamitzim, those who were removing the old bread, in the darim, they would stand opposite them on the darim, were playing with suffering, so we facing each other face to face. Now they did it very smoothly. Elu moishchim, these kahanim would pull, ve'elu manichim, and those would go ahead and lay the new bread, meaning it was done like a conveyor belt, one in and one out. Tifchei shalzer, shalzer, betzatzifchei shalzer. So these hands, the hands of this fellow, was right next to the hand of this fellow, meaning there was no taking and then putting. It was done successively. Mishum shenemar lefonai tamid. The Torah says we had to have the lechem on the shulchan tamid constantly, uninterrupted. Therefore, they did it in this manner. We're not meant to leave the shulchan bereft of any bread. Rabbi Yosi Omer, afilu elu noitin ve'elu manichim. Even if the first kahana would take the bread and the second kahana would place the lechem later, that's okay. Av zeh hayatam. This also is considered to be constant, continuous. It also is a fulfillment of the word tamid. Rashi says as long as there was no lina without lechem, the shulchan did not stay overnight without the presence of the lechem, that's okay. So apparently, according to the Rabbanan, if there's an interruption, even a minor pause, that is considered to be a termination. We can't deem it as one continuous experience. Likewise, in the case of the Bris Milah, when he was Misalik Yodav, the Bris becomes Hufsak, terminated, interrupted. Now he wants to go back and complete, remove the Tzitzin. We regard it as a new Haschala, a new beginning, a new initiation, a new Ma'is, a new Ma'is Malacha. So if those Tzitzin are required for the validity of the bris, and certainly he can go be mechalal shabbos for that. It's part of the bris. But if those tzitzin are insignificant, he may not go back to complete the bris milah. He can't go back and trim those tzitzin. Tana rabbana, we're going to the brayso mahalka den samila. We go ahead and we trim the milah, meaning the tzitzin hamaakven, those significant flabs of skin. Vimla yilkit anashkaris. And if he disregarded, he neglected to remove those flaps of skin, he gets karis. Who gets karis? Mani. Who are we speaking about? Omer Rav Kahana Uman. It's the expert, meaning the mayo. If he goes ahead and he does the bris without removing what he needs to remove from those tzitzin, he gets karis. Maskel Rav Papa. What's going on here? Now, one second. We're speaking about that he did the Milan Shabbos. So the chiddush here would be that since he didn't complete it, he didn't do anything. So all he did was a malacha. He did a chabura. He inflicted a wound without fulfilling a mitzvah, so he gets karis. Says the Gemara, is that so? Maskev for Rav Papa. Rav Papa challenged this. Uman, leimaluhu. The Uman should tell them, I know Avdi Palga the mitzvah. I fulfilled half the mitzvah. I cut off the foreskin, the arla. I did part of the priya, maybe. You go ahead and complete it. Why am I responsible to complete the entire mitzvah? Atun Avdi Su Palga the mitzvah. You as well do the other half of the mitzvah. So why is he liable? Elam our Papa Gadol. We're speaking about the person himself. We're speaking about an adult who's undergoing a bris milah right now. And the Braisa tells us, well, he must ensure that he has a proper bris milah. If there are those tzitzin, those significant flaps of skin, which invalidate his bris, he will get karis due to his neglect of this mitzvah. Maskel Ravashi challenges. Gadol behediksiv be. We're speaking about a Gadol. Certainly the Torah says, V'arel zachar ashalayimah. The Torah specifically, Behedi, clearly says that if he disregards his bris milah, he gets cursed. So why does the Braisa need to state this halacha in this way, in this roundabout way, that if he doesn't trim and he didn't do it properly, the Braisa should simply tell us that a Gadol who disregarded milah gets cursed. Elam Rav Ashi lo'ilam uman. Certainly we're speaking about the Moil. Why is the Moil responsible? It's speaking about the following case. Kegoin to also ben Hashmashis, the Shabbos. He came along during the Ben HaShemashah, so it's towards evening on Shabbos. There's very little time available to do a bris. V'amalei, they warned him, Loi Masapkes, you won't have enough time to complete the entire procedure. Don't even begin, because if you can't complete it, there's no point to begin. You're simply doing a malacha unnecessarily. V'amalei, he told, don't worry, Masapkina, I will have enough time. I will be able to complete the entire process. V'ovad, and he did v'lo yistapik. And it turned out that he fell short. He couldn't complete the entire bris, he left over some flaps. V'yishtakach. And it turns out, the chabura da'avet, that all he did was inflict a wound. He didn't do the bris. V'anish karas, and therefore he gets karas. Continues the Gemara Maitzitzin, so we draw out the blood, we suck it out. Amar Ava Papa, Hay Umna Deloy Mayitz, this male who disregard, neglected to do the Mitzitza Sakono. He is endangering, it's an endangering of the child, Avrinle, and we remove him from his post. Pshita, says Gemara, isn't that obvious? The fact that the mission allows it to be done on Shabbos highlights the fact that it's a Sakona if you ignore it to do it, because it's really a Malacha. Sucking out the skin, the blood is a chabura. Why can we do it? Apparently, it's meant to safeguard the life of the child. So isn't this pretty obvious from now, Mishnah? Pshita, midikom mechali shali shabbata. Since we are mechal Shabbos, for this purpose of Mitzitza, sakana. Well, obviously, it's a sakana if it is disregarded. Says the Gemara, Ma'od Atem, perhaps I would think just the opposite. Sucking out that blood is actually not a malacha altogether. Hai dam, this blood in this area, mifkit pukkit, simply deposited there. It's not really embedded in the flesh. So therefore, removing this dam does not involve a malacha. It's not considered to be a chabura. Chabura means detaching the blood from its enmeshment with the flesh, with the skin. This is not a chabura. He's simply taking the blood, which is sitting there, deposited there, sort of on the surface. Therefore, we can do it on Shabbos. Just the opposite, because it's not a malacha. But perhaps, there's no indication from here that disregarding this procedure involves sakana. Says the Gemara Kamashmon, therefore our Papa actually teaches us. Chiburi mechbar, just the opposite. This blood is very much enmeshed and embedded. And in order to remove it, by sucking it out, you're actually chiburi mechbar, you're doing a chabura to remove it. Nevertheless, you can do it, apparently, because it's avoiding sakana. Because disregarding this procedure endangers the life of the child, in accordance with Rav Papa's instruction. V'dumi disbelonis v'kamin, indeed the Mishnah seems to equate this mitzitza to the other things mentioned in the Mishnah, placing the spilonis, the bandage, v'kamin, that medicine. My spilonis v'kamin, just like those things, tiloy ovid sakanu, if he disregards them, it poses a danger to the child's life. Af hachanam here as well, with regard to the mitzitza of the dam, kiloy ovid sakanu, if he ignores it, doesn't do it, it poses a danger sakana to the child. So in summary, we learned that one may do a bris milah on Shabbos, and the Mishnah began all tzarechei milah. The Gemara tells us it means as follows: as long as he's still involved in the bris, he can go back and remove all those flaps, and that is the chiddush of the Mishnah. All tzarechei milah, even those minor flaps. However, the Gemara told us if he already removed his hands from that area, he completed. He took a pause, a break. He cannot go back if it's on Shabbos, right? He can't go back to do those insignificant tzitzin because we regard it as initiation, a new Maisa, and since these minor flaps are insignificant, don't invalidate the bris milah, he can't do it on Shabbos. The Gemara concluded, this follows the Shita Rabbanon hold that a pause, a break, terminates the procedure. The Mishnah tells us, Moylan, Poyrin, Maitzin, so Moylan means removing the actual oir of the Erla, the foreskin. Poyrin means to remove the thin membrane. Maitzin is drawing out that blood. The Gemara tells us, disregarding that, poses sakana to the child. The Mishnah told us he places the spilonis, the kamen, the bandage, the medicine, the yain and the shemen. The Mishnah speaks about this bandage which is wrapped around the child, and the Mishnah actually tells us that we're meant to prefer to do it in an indirect way, derech shinoi, in a way which avoids doing a direct malach. Continues the Gemara, v'noisin le spilonis, amar abay, amali aim. So aim wasn't actually his mother, abay was the orphan. Aim means his caretaker, gave him the following good advice. Ispilanita, the kulain, the proper, effective bandage for all these, all wounds, the kulain kivi, all the wounds, shave minoi tarba, 7 portions of chelev of fat, v'chada kira, with 1 portion of wax. Rava amar, kira, wax, v'kalba rishina, some type of resin, some type of extraction of a tree. So this is a very effective bandage. Dorsha Rava b'mechayza. Rava went ahead and he publicized it in Mechayza, this very effective bandage. Karinu b'nei Menyumi Asya. So b'nei Menyumi Asya, the sons of Menyumi the Asya, the doctor, Karinu, they tore limonai, their clothing, out of expression of pain and distress, because he revealed the secrets and they were out of business. Amalu, so he told him, don't worry. Shavkil huchada, I left you over one thing, one formula, which I didn't publicize, and That's for your parnasa, for your business. Dama Shmuel, Shmuel said, Hayman de Mashi Api v'lenogev tuva. If one washes his face and doesn't properly dry it, Niktru lechaspe nisa. The chaspinisa, these boils will develop on his face. Maitakante, what is the remedy for this situation? Limshi tuva b'mayi de silke, to wash his face excessively, properly with beet juice. This is a formula which I hadn't yet publicized. You can keep it for yourself and maintain your business. So in summary, we learned that one can go ahead and do a milah even at the place of a baharis. One can go ahead and carry loads even when he has a baharis. The Gemara says, even though these things involve a psik resh, it's inevitable that the nega will be removed. It is mutter, the Torah specifically allows it. We learned that a milah shaloi bezmano is not toich yomtiv. We have four sources. We learned that the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva doesn't allow the preparations of milah and pesach to be done on Shabbos. And finally, we learned that a milah, with all its tzrachim, can be done on Shabbos.